Hey, everybody. My name is April Lovett.
And my name is Daryl Lovett.
We've been together for 5 years, and we have a 3-year-old sweet and sassy little girl, an adorable and smiley baby boy, and our fur child, our dog Lainey.
That's right. We also work our 9-to-5 jobs together, we teach together, and we co-own the Lovett Company.
That's right, we do so much together, and we wanted to share some of our tips and tricks for living out our 24/7 relationship.
Oh yes, a relationship that is all day, every day.
Plus, we want to share with you how we manage to run our side business alongside full-time jobs, and still find time for kids, chores, and fun. So in this podcast, the Success in Black and White podcast, we'll be talking about working towards success, overcoming failures, and just living our everyday lives.
So get ready. We're going to be bringing to you real talk concepts every week as we share some of our stories, best practices, as well as talk to guests about how they have found success by doing extraordinary things in their everyday lives.
Welcome, everybody. We are going to start today's episode with a iTunes review and shout out. This week's iTunes review and shout out is from Hardy KRY. And she says, I listen to a lot of podcasts. I recently got into self-development podcast, and this one has already been so helpful. I see so much potential in both hosts and love hearing their jokes and small talk in between all the serious stuff. I can't wait to hear more, and I look forward to getting to know them throughout the show. Try it. You won't be disappointed. Thank you, Hardy KRY. If you want us to give you a shout out, quickly hop over to iTunes and rate and leave us a review. You can also leave a review on your social media platform. Just be sure to tag us in it so we can send you some love. You can tag us at April Dawn Lovett on all social media platforms and at I Am Daryl Lovett on all social media platforms. So I think we want to go ahead and get into our episode today. But first, like we always do, a couple life updates.
What episode is this?
This is episode 8.
Episode 8.
Ocho. That's crazy. This is the 8th time we've done this.
I know.
I wonder what people have done this like 400 times. They're like, this is crazy. This is the 480th time we've done this.
Yep.
It's fun though. We get to talk to each other and talk to you guys, so we love it. So what are your life updates?
Life updates. I want a new watch.
Oh.
That's my life update. I want a new watch.
That's fair too, because I get to get a new phone.
Yeah.
So you can have a new watch.
Yep. I want a new watch. Not that I don't like mine anymore. Mine is awesome and I love it still. It's one of those smart watches, but I wear it all the time and I change up the bands, but now I want a new watch. So that's my update.
All right. Well, you know, in time for the Christmas holiday. That's good for me to know, I guess.
Yeah. That wasn't what I was going for, because I'd rather just go buy my own watch.
Oh, can you buy it and then I'll wrap it up? And
yeah, you can do that.
Give it to you? Okay.
Yeah, because you'll be the one to like, nah, I'm not going to say it. No, I am going to say it. You'll be the one to like Walmart. Nothing's wrong with Walmart watches if you have a Walmart watch. Like, more power to you. Me, I just tend to, like, break those watches a little bit quicker and a little bit easier. So I don't want to, you know.
A Walmart watch.
Yeah, a Walmart watch. No, I need something, like, a little bit more sturdy.
You're funny.
But with those Walmart watches, you can take them back, though.
I'm sure you can.
Yeah.
I'm sure a lot of them come back.
This episode is not about watches, and it's
and
not
it's
about
not sponsored
Walmart.
By Walmart.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. So mine are just simple. I got to run this morning, and I got to run in the cold weather, which is amazing for me because I grew up in Colorado. If you've listened to episode 1, you now know that. But growing up in the cold weather, when we had track practice, it was snowing and the wind was blowing and it was basically blizzarding. And the coach would be like, go run 2 miles. We were like, okay. So then when I moved to Florida and I moved to the humidity, I felt like I couldn't run because I couldn't breathe because I was drowning in water in the air. So it's nice to me when it's cold out. I got to have a nice long run this morning and it was like 36 degrees. It was so beautiful.
That's awesome. I did not run in the cold.
No, you didn't.
I do not like to run in the cold.
No, he doesn't.
I prefer not to run in the cold. I prefer not to do anything in the cold.
No. True story.
Except also, sit in a hot tub.
Oh, okay, yes. Definitely sit in the hot tub, for sure.
In the cold.
Right. So another life update that is like a huge parenting win. Any parent would say this. Vaughn, our 7-month-old big fat baby, slept through the night last night.
Oh yeah.
Oh my gosh. He didn't wake up. Well, okay. So we put him to bed at like 8.
Which is later than when we normally
Which is later than, yeah, it's a little bit later, like half an hour later. And gave him a bottle. He kind of squirmed a little bit, like 10:30 before we got into bed. So I consider this a slept through the night. And yeah. So I gave him a bottle at 10:30. And he didn't wake up until we were ready to leave.
Yeah.
It was amazing. Yes. So I feel like, do you feel refreshed?
Not really.
Oh.
I'm still trying to
That catch one night up doesn't on, like, make up on all for 7 months. All of those nights. Okay, well, I feel pretty refreshed because...
Well, that's good for you. And you got to run in the cold.
And I got to run in the cold.
Wow.
I
do not feel refreshed. But he did not wake up. But for me, it's just like built into my... What do they call it? Time clocks. What do they call it when you have the internal... My internal time clock. I was going to say biological clock.
Yeah.
Is that what it's called?
I mean, yeah.
My biological... Like, it's built in. Yeah. So even though he didn't wake us up, I still automatically woke up. And the first thing I did was sat up and looked at the monitor and was like, all right, is it go time? And he was just still there chilling. And then I was like, okay. And then I lay back down and I really couldn't go like right back to sleep.
Yeah.
So like my body has already adjusted to him waking up.
That's true.
So I automatically wake up regardless if he gets up or not. So That's when true. You talk about refreshed, I'm like, nope, I was up anyways.
Well, you know what I forgot is that I did wake up and I actually went in his room to check on him because I'm used to that.
I remember you got
like
up
2 or 3 a.m.
And I was like,
but the difference is
I didn't hear him.
Right. I didn't either. It was just in my, it was in my biological clock.
Yeah.
But the difference is I didn't have to stay up with him for like the 30 to 45 minutes that it sometimes takes to get him back down.
So yeah, that's is a big true. Difference. Yeah, I did know that you got up. I was like, wait a minute.
I don't know why I did.
I was like, what? But the same reason I woke
Probably
up.
Probably the same reason, yeah.
The same reason I woke up.
Oh, my goodness. The other update is that, and you guys should have heard, you've been hearing the commercials if you've been following us so far, but our Goal Crushers guide is still out there.
So many people are like racking up on this thing.
Yes.
We're so proud of it. At first, I was like, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, it's okay.
But no, like at first, I was like, oh, people are going to take this thing. Do they really want it? But people have really been utilizing this. And I'm very excited about it. To put something out there and to have the response that we've had with the people that are using it is pretty awesome.
We're excited that so many people are using it and excited to use it. It's really a good resource. When we first put it out, you know, and you do kind of a lot of... You do some comparisons of what other people are putting out for freebies. And honestly, I told Daryl, I'm like, I'm going to do better. Like, I'm going to look at everything that I see that, you know, big names are putting out by way of freebies. And we're going to make ours better because we want to provide a good resource for people.
Right.
And we did. And people are loving it. And so we've gotten a lot of support. But you know what? It's still out there. It's still out there in time for the holiday season. So if you haven't gotten your copy, then just go to our website, successinblackandwhite.com/goalcrushers.
Yes.
All one word, all together. And claim your copy because we are going to take down the offer after like the first week of January.
Yeah.
We want you guys to be forward thinking in how you plan your New Year's, your 2019 goals.
Right.
And so think about it even before you get into the Christmas holiday season. So go in, get that copy now. But thank you for the outpouring of support. And we've had a lot of kind words of people who have told us that it's a really good resource. And we agree. We believe that too. So
absolutely.
Pick it up.
Yeah, I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, more so now than I was when we were originally getting ready to put it out there.
Yeah, wasn't so thrilled.
Yeah, I wasn't thrilled. But I'm actually excited to know that we are impacting people.
Mm-hmm.
For free. Yeah, for free.
That was not excited about the putting it out for free.
But think about it. All of those people who have downloaded it thus far.
Yeah.
Now they probably want to pay for it.
I They may have paid for it. But it's a pretty good resource.
It is.
But we don't want to, we didn't want to do that. We wanted to put out there for free. But it is limited time. So.
Yeah, we definitely, and she extended it. I wanted to take that sucker down earlier. But you know what, though? The response that we've had and the people that have given us feedback and how it has helped them, we want to offer the opportunity to, like we said, as many people as possible, because that's our one of our values, one of our goals is to make the biggest impact. So I'm down for leaving it out a little bit longer before we take it back.
Sweet. Okay, so let's get into our topic today.
Dang, that was like 10 minutes of updates and stuff.
Well, I'm excited for every day we come into the podcast and Daryl's like, do you think we can get it 30 minutes? And I'm like, no.
I see why. 10 minutes of updates.
Oh, my goodness.
But you're still listening, so cool. We're going to actually get into the topic for today.
So today's topic is dealing with haters. And when Daryl sent this to me, because I give him a long list of topics and I'm like, choose one. And he sent it to me and I was kind of like, I don't know if I'm ready to talk about this. And I started making my notes and they just flowed. So just a disclaimer, I have notes and I want to get through them because I think they're important. So like, yes, this show is raw and real and we don't really share notes beforehand. But if you guys hear like my paper turnover, it's because I want you to get everything that I was able to write down today. I think it's super important.
Yeah, my paper is not going to turn over because I still did mine the same way. I have bullets.
Yeah.
So you're going to get mine raw and off the top of the head because I definitely don't have notes. I have bullets. And then I jotted down some stuff here and there when I saw her page. I was like, well, I need to say something on this. So, and plus, I don't really like to talk about haters a whole lot.
He doesn't.
But
I think it's important.
Yeah, it is important. And because I feel like she has a lot of important things that she wants to share, I'm with her and I support her on it. And I'm going to be right here throughout the entire podcast while she shares all of her things. And then I share my few things.
And here's the thing. If you have kids, like, bring them into this episode, because I think even if they don't maybe understand some of the concepts we're going to talk about, I think they're going to understand, like, there can be haters throughout your entire life.
Yes.
I mean, from kindergarten, I remember getting a little bit of bullied in kindergarten all the way up to now. And I think it's important to understand how to, for your own self, combat haters.
Yeah. And I wrote that in my notes as kind of like a secondary, that haters, they are a form of bullies.
Yeah.
You know, and I put life bullies.
Yeah.
They're bullying parts of your life, not you in particular, but parts of your life and things that you have going on. So hating is a form of bullying, and we've all definitely experienced that. And if you haven't, then kudos to you, because I know that I have.
You know, and that's a good transition just to talk about, let's kind of define what exactly a hater is. So what is a hater to you?
I think like a hater is a person who has like negative or critical things to say about you and what you have going on and what you're doing. It can also be a person who dislikes a specific thing about you or something that you're doing. So I think that's what a hater is, who their main focus is strictly on like knocking you. And it's not about building you up. It's not about giving you feedback. It's just straight up about knocking you for whatever reason it may be. So if I had to, you know, give a definition or explain what a hater is, that's what it would be to me.
Gotcha. So I think that there are haters on a couple different levels.
Yes.
And so the first level to me is a hater could potentially be somebody who doesn't agree with something you say and or do, and they let you know that. And there's a difference. We'll talk a little bit about, you know, if you know that you're, we'll talk about this in a second, how you know you're being hated on. Mm-hmm. But that's the first level, like probably the lowest level, is just somebody who doesn't agree with something that you're saying or you're doing, and they let you know.
Yep.
The second level.
In a non-constructive way.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was the sticking point, in a non-constructive way. So, and we'll talk about that a little bit more in a second. The second level of haters is people who take it a step further and they talk about you behind your back.
Yep.
And not to your face.
Yes.
And so that's the second level of haters. And then I think the ultimate level of haters, if there's an ultimate, is the people who intentionally go out of their way to stop you or try to stop you from doing what you're doing, however it is.
Yeah.
Whether it's like, I want to stop you from, I don't even know a good example. Maybe they're, you know, going to your parents to try to tell them to try to get you to stop doing something. Or they're going to somebody else. They're going above your head to have another person tell you to stop doing something.
Right.
Or just however they can sabotage you.
Sabotage. I think that's a great word. I think that's the word you were looking
for.
That
sums
right up. There.
That's probably what I was looking for.
They're trying to do something in any way possible to sabotage what you're doing. If it's, you know, helping you progress and move forward, or it's actually putting you in a light that's actually positive, or reflecting on what you're trying to accomplish. So when they intentionally seek out to sabotage you, I think that's what you were trying to say.
That's exactly what I was trying to say.
If it wasn't, then that's what I said. And then I just said you were trying to say that.
No, that's exactly what I was trying to say. Exactly. So then the next part is, how do you know if you're being hated on?
You know what? I just not thought about this.
Mm-hmm.
Hold that question.
Yeah.
Because people might hate on me right now because I was just listening to myself and how I was feeling in this moment, how I was talking. And I got like a sexy voice going on right now.
Keith's
voice? Oh, my gosh. Stop saying that. No. So I was like, wait a minute. Do I normally talk like this all the time? Let me perk up a little bit. But no, I'm actually chilling right now. But I was like, dang. I'm like leaning in. I got the... All right. Anyways, come on. Don't hate on me for my voice.
You're so
funny. Go ahead.
Funny.
Sorry. Go back to your question.
So my question is...
I'm crazy, y'all.
A little bit. How do you know if you're being hated on?
Okay. I think on those multiple levels, the way that you explained it, sometimes people will outright just hate on you to your face. And that's definitely one way. I think that one of the ways that I know for me that I found out is you're going to always know, because when people are out to sabotage you, or they're out negatively talking about you, or they're out trying to knock you, somebody's going to always come back and tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're going to either be the topic of a conversation. And usually when that happens, you always find out. And in today's world, where you have social media and you have things to hide behind, you know, people will definitely put it out there that way, and you'll always find out. And then another thing is, when you're making progress, or you're excelling, or you're finding success, those people or the things that they're hating on, it's definitely going to come to the forefront. And it's definitely going to be something when you're reevaluating, you're assessing where you are, that people are going to then share that hate or try to give you that unsolicited hate.
Yeah.
I feel like that's definitely how you'll know. And that could be just, you know, superficial. For me, I don't know if you have something that's like a little bit more in depth, but for me, definitely, I think those are ways that you're going to know that you're being hated on.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was actually going to ask you, have you ever been in a position where you've like walked up on a couple people or a group of people talking about you and you knew it, and they like got quiet when you got there and walked up on them?
Yeah, multiple times.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You want an example?
Yeah.
Oh, bet. Okay.
Give me some dirt.
Definitely. So, obviously, and I hate to keep using like athletic examples, but this is one that immediately popped into my mind. I was definitely in college, and obviously on the football team at Florida State University. And people that I had went to high school with previously, we still kind of hung out because it was a large group of us that all came in together. And I know that we were all meeting up, and I was a little bit late and just kind of rolled up. And all of a sudden, when I rolled up, like, it's just like the conversation just stopped and came to a halt. Now, here's where the funny part was. I was like, oh, don't stop on my behalf. And I didn't know what it was about, but you know me. I'm out there like that. I'm like, no, don't stop the conversation on my behalf. I want to join into what we're talking about. And one person actually had the nerve to say, hey, man, why are you acting the way you do? You think you all that because you on the football team. And I was just like, oh, this is where we're about to go right now. And these were people, like I said, well, majority of them. There were some other people that were outsiders, meaning that they didn't go to high school with me, but that were in the group as well. And I was like, what? And it went there. And I'm glad that it was brought up because I didn't know that my behaviors or attitude had changed. And that's how I was being perceived by people that I had known for years and grew up in the same town with and went to high school with. But I definitely remember that conversation. And I made it very clear that, you know, my intentions were not to come off as I was better than them because I was on the football team, or that my actions and behaviors were different because, you know, I didn't hang out with them all the time, because I did hang out with a lot of the athletes and things. So they immediately categorized me in that group of the jocks on campus, or, oh, there go the football players, or the football players always do this, or the reputation that they have is this. So people that I knew from high school just automatically they categorized me with that group because of that. And they were talking about it when I walked up on them one day, because I still, you know, I like to talk to everybody. And I remember where I came from, and I remember we went to high school together, and I remember that we all knew each other, like, outside of what was going on there at, you know, at the university. But no one ever brought it to my attention until, like, they were talking about it and I rolled up. And then I was like, don't stop on my behalf. And somebody actually had the nerves to say it. And I was like, dang. Like, it was like a smack in the face. But I also appreciated the fact that somebody said something to me, and it gave me an opportunity to kind of express how I felt about the fact that that's what they were talking about, and how the fact that that was the perception that they had of me. And then I also expressed that I thought they knew me better than that, because we all came from the same place. So during that time, you know, obviously it was tough, and I probably didn't say it the way that I would say it now, because my attitude was a little different back then, even though I was still chill. But I probably would have said it a little bit differently, but I probably stepped on some toes. But I also probably made it very clear for some people that still wanted to continue to hang out and stuff, because during that time, it was like a divide.
Athletes versus everybody else.
Not athletes versus everybody else, but like people that I came up with and that I graduated high school with and that I knew for years just decided to disassociate themselves because I also hung out with athletes on campus. And they had their preconceived notions. They had their perceptions of athletes. So, yeah, it's crazy. So that's a good example of like hating. And I think I call it hating, because I think it was hating is because, you know, it definitely was a different level for me. And I was hanging out with people who were at a different level and people who were in the limelight. And I rolled with that group and I was accepted with that group. And there was never a time where I shunned anybody. You know, if I was with that group and we walked by and I just completely disrespected or didn't acknowledge anybody, you know. So how it got to the point that what the perception of the whole group was representation of me as a person individually, I'm not sure. But they was hating, though. He think he all that. Look at him over there with them. They think they all that. Why they always be so loud? Why they making so much noise? Why they think everybody want to do this?
At least you were open to receiving that feedback and not defensive.
No,
because it's so easy to be defensive in those situations. And then if you don't receive that feedback, you may not be able to make a positive change.
Absolutely. And the thing that probably stopped me from being defensive, because I probably would have been defensive, but just I think being caught off guard, but also my foundation, you know, I'm always I'm pretty always chill. So like if I was anybody else or had a different personality, my response could have blown up and I could have got defensive or I could have just been like, forget all y'all.
So my example is not, it's a little different. First of all, well, it's from high school. So if there are any high schoolers listening, we know that it can be difficult to navigate the social circles of high school and just high school in general. Like, I do not ever wish to go back to that time period. Like, there are people who are like, I wish I was back in high school. That's not me. I appreciated the small town I grew up in. I think that I, you know, had a lot of friends from there, but I just would never want to go back. I remember I was in an English class. This is high school. This is probably my sophomore or junior year. And I just that year had been having a lot of personal issues, just in my own life and like family life and stuff. And I was finding it really hard to figure out who my true friends were and just what my place was and who I could talk to. And, you know, I couldn't figure it out. And so I started hanging out with a girl who was really nice. She was considered to be like in the popular group, but she was really nice to me and really just kind of extended that, like, I've been there, I know what you're going through, you know, I've had these like feelings and emotions before. And she would talk to me through it, and I just thought that was the coolest thing. And I was like, I have a friend. We had an English class together, and I remember she was part of the popular group, and I don't really consider myself part of any high school group, just because I like to be friends with everybody. And so when I was in English class, I went to go sit down by her, and there was a girl who was like well known to be one of her, you know, cronies, like a good friend, and she looked at me and she said,
she just said crony.
I said crony. She looked at me and she gave me the meanest look. And she said, why do you always do that? And then turn around and took my seat next to that girl. And that was, and you know, that's high school drama. That's high school mean girl drama. But I remember it hurt my feelings so much. And I felt like I don't have a place here. Like, I didn't have a place. And you know what? It got better. It gets better. But I knew, because she said that, I knew that they probably talked about me behind my back. I'm just guessing at this point. But that was very to my face, a very mean and hater thing to say. And I still remember that to this day because it impacted me on so many levels. I don't think I'm friends with that particular person on any of my social media platforms even, because I just can't be.
I bet you won't call her out. No, I'm just playing. Don't Ooh. Do it. Don't do it. No.
I could, but I'm not friends with her anyway, so it wouldn't matter.
No. Don't
it. Do wouldn't it. Matter.
That was a joke, y'all. That was me
I'm sure I'm friends with some of sarcastic. Our friends still, though, but so I won't say anything.
We don't do that, and we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, that's true.
I'll talk about that later.
Yes, we had that was something a joke. Happen. And that was a joke. Yeah.
You know, anyway. When you was growing up and you had those bullies and those haters, well, I did. And when you're challenging each other and you drew that line in the sand, I bet you won't cross the line. And then we used to do another one. The baddest man hit my hand. Baddest man hit my hand.
And then, like, everybody gets in a fist fight.
Ooh, he stepped over the line.
Oh, my goodness. So then my next question is, how do you know if you're the one being a hater? Stay tuned after a quick word from our sponsors, us. Friends, how many of you declare goals to lose weight, eat healthier, save money, stay more connected to family and friends, go after that dream career, travel to that one place, or whatever else you want to accomplish, only to find yourself falling off the wagon within a few weeks? The number one thing that people get wrong when they set goals for themselves is not declaring their goal in a way where they plan the action steps to succeed. This episode of Success in Black and White, the podcast, is sponsored by our very own Goal Crusher Guide and Workbook. Daryl and I are excited to bring to you this easy-to-use, comprehensive workbook. Even better, friends, for you, it's completely free. We love y'all, and our goal is to inspire as many people to succeed as we can. We want you to be able to not only go for your dreams, but to actually achieve them. This guide will help you establish goals based on your life values, prioritize your goals, write action steps, and make them visual so you're more likely to achieve them. You can get your free copy of the Goal Crusher Guide and Workbook on our website, successinblackandwhite.com/goalcrushers.
Oh, you automatically know, because it make you feel some type of way. And I done been a hater before. And how do I know? When I'm in the mix, when I'm stirring up the Kool-Aid, You know what I'm saying? You know when you're doing it. You know when you're hating. And you feel a certain type of way. And for whatever reason you feel like you have to act out that way is your business. But you know. It ain't no secret. And you know when you're trying to knock somebody or when you're trying to help inform somebody or help build somebody up or help give someone some feedback.
Yeah.
You know it.
You know.
It ain't no secret because I done did it before.
Right. I do. I think that there, to me, there's almost like levels of this too.
Yeah.
And so the first thing that I thought of, because I've been a hater too, and I have done these things.
I was a sneaky hater though.
Oh, you sneak.
I don't do it that much anymore. And Jamal always, he always be like, why you hating? You a hater. I'm like, I'm not hating, man. This is like critical feedback right here, man. I'm trying to help you.
That's my first one. So
yeah, but I
you may be a hater. You may be a hater if you think you're helping, but all you're doing is criticizing someone else without giving them constructive advice. Yeah. You're a hater.
Yep.
And I have definitely done that. And I've been in those shoes. Yeah.
But see, let me make this clear. When Jamal say that, I am hating on him, but it is in a fun, like it's a fun way. Like, I'm not really hating on him.
You guys say that to each other all the time.
I know, because we antagonize each other. We brothers, and that's what brothers do. So yeah. I do hate on him, but it's not like real hate. It's just to antagonize him. And he knows that, and we say it to each other all the time. Mm-hmm. So I want to make that clear. But no, I've been a real hater to some other people too, though, that same way.
Now, my second one is if you are talking about people behind their backs and you don't have the courage to say it to their face, you're a hater.
You're a hater.
You're a hater.
So, I've never really had that problem because I don't mind saying stuff to people's face.
Mm-hmm. But do you?
Yeah.
Okay. I've definitely been there.
If the opportunity presents itself.
Okay. I've definitely been there where I've like talked about something or something somebody's doing and not said it to their face. And so that makes me a hater.
Yeah.
I've done it.
Yeah, I've done the same thing and not said it to their face. But if the opportunity presents itself, because I always start off and I start off these conversations in today's time. I'm like, hey, anything I say right now, I don't care if you go back and tell this person because nothing that I'm going to say to you right now, I wouldn't say to them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I started off like that just to avoid any, he bad mouthing them or he hating, he talking
mm-hmm.
on them. And then if I have the opportunity to share it with somebody, I will. But not all the time, like, I have the opportunity to, like, tell somebody or say something to somebody. And somebody may have, a better connection or may have a better chance of getting the message back to that person for me. And if that person comes to me and say, hey, I heard you said this. I'm like, I'm glad you came to me and said that.
Mm.
Let's talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
But not really in a hating form. But yeah, I talked about people behind their back before.
Yeah.
But I try not to do that now.
Right. So
unless they hating on me. No, I'm just kidding. Sort of, kind of.
So the third one to me is if you'll say something to somebody's face, but it's only mean or negative, you're a hater.
Now that I do not do, and I have not done that. And that's just in my makeup. Like if I got you face to face and we're having a conversation, like it's never my intent to tear you down.
Yeah.
Never.
That is
face to face now.
Yeah. And that is something for me that is also not in my makeup. Like I've always been a peacekeeper. And so it's hard for me to say something very negative or very mean to somebody else. But with that comes times where I really need to give constructive feedback to somebody. And sometimes that holds me back a little bit. Like, how do I do this in the correct form or fashion? But I think what we've learned, and I know for me that this has come, I've had to really evaluate myself in the past just couple weeks since, you know, we've felt a little bit from haters in the past couple weeks. And that has made me turn around and reflect on, but am I doing it? Am I being a hater? Have I done it in the past?
Yeah.
And just, you know, I always want to make myself better too. And so I have to realize that the way that I have been hurt or could be hurt, I could have done to somebody else.
Yeah.
And so that really is a reflection. Like I've reflected on that. And Eleanor Roosevelt has a great quote. She says, great minds discuss ideas, average minds discuss events, and small minds discuss people. And I think like taking that to heart is really when you think about how to combat haters, which is where we're going next.
Right. Yes.
Like I kind of think about I think about that quote. Like, that's a great quote to think about. So let me flip my page over.
She got quotes and everything.
I got quotes and everything today, guys.
I know we like serious right now talking about haters, but I'm going to say what I need to say. She got quotes, y'all. Well, I got a quote too then.
What's your quote?
Oh, no, it ain't time for mine yet.
Oh, okay.
It's about to come up, though, I think, in this topic that we're talking about.
Okay, yeah. So I want to know, I have a lot of points here, and so we can kind of talk back and forth about these, but I'm curious about how do you combat haters?
So for me, I think that the number one thing that I do to combat haters, and all of my things that I'm going to give to combat haters, is not like hand-to-hand combat or like I'm out here fighting these haters in these streets. Mine is more of things that I can do on my behalf and for myself, you know, to keep me grounded.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing is don't get drawn into their negativity. So that's the very first thing that I make sure that I try to do. So if I know that somebody's hating on me, or if I've gotten word that somebody's hating on me, or I feel like somebody's hating on me, the first thing I do is check myself. I'm like, D, like, don't even invest your energy into their negativity. Don't get drawn into that nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
Let them hate. Let them do what they need to do, and they'll eventually get over it. Because once you draw yourself into it and now you're invested in their negativity, then that starts to take over you and how you're doing things and how you're approaching things. So that's number one. The second one is, and this is where my quote come in at, I guess, since you had quotes. And this is just something that I always believe in, is don't waste time on the clapback. You know, anytime somebody says something negative about you, or somebody's hating on you, the first thing you want to do is respond or rebuttal. Don't waste time on the clapback. And when I'm talking about my quote that I want to give, there's a scripture that immediately comes to my mind anytime I think about my clapback or my rebuttal or my response. And that scripture is 1 Peter 3:9. I was going to paraphrase it, but I actually pulled it up since she gave a quote. So I'm not going to paraphrase it. I'm actually going to read it.
There you go.
The NIV version. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. 1 Peter 3:9. When somebody hating on you, don't even clap back, because that ain't your thing. Bless those people so that you will be blessed. So that's my second thing. Don't waste time on the clap back.
All right.
And then the third is don't turn into, you all right? You need some water?
Yeah, I'm sorry. No,
you're good. You ain't got to apologize. Hey, we all get choked up sometimes.
I'm all choked up.
1 Peter 3:9 got you choked up?
Yes.
You be clapping back, huh?
No.
I was just saying, hey. And the third is don't turn into one. You know what I mean? It's so easy. If you get drawn into the negativity and then you're focused on the clapback, then you're venturing over in the side of being a hater yourself. So if you don't get drawn into the negativity and don't waste time on the clapback, it'll help prevent you from turning into a hater. So the very thing that you're upset or frustrated about is the thing that you're going to become if you focus on the negativity, if you focus on the clapback. So make sure that you don't turn into one.
I like that.
Yeah. So it's all about like you, you know, as a person, not so much about combating the person who's hating on you.
Yeah.
What you got?
Ooh, I got a lot.
Go ahead. I got mine throughout the way. You can list as many as you want to.
Oh, hey. Okay. So mine are all very internally based as well, is how do you internally deal with haters without the actual combat? So we're talking about combating them, but that's internally. That's not like go up and smack a hater in the face.
Is there anybody out there doing that in these streets? You out here smacking haters? If so, please stop. Don't do it. We don't condone violence.
Or maybe that's a service.
We don't condone the clapback. What? You said a service.
A service, like a hater smacker.
Oh, my. Okay. All right. Come on back on topic.
Anyway. So my
hater smacker.
So the first thing is, I really think, like, internally, first of all, and Daryl alluded to this before with his example, is that if someone is critical of your work or what you're doing, take a step back and look at the whole situation. Understand, first of all, who is that person to you? Are they a trusted friend or relative that, like, you know, has your best interest in mind? And is what they're saying honest and relevant? And so try to take your emotions out of it and really understand, like, is this person trying to make me a better person or trying to help guide me in the way that I should go? So before you get into, like, you have to evaluate if that person is actually a hater in the first place, or if you're just having a very emotionally based response and they're really trying to help you. So I think that's the first thing. For me, the second is, if they are a hater type of person, then first of all, I could tell you all day that you shouldn't care about what they say, right? But the reality is that we are all human beings. And because we're human beings, we have feelings and we have emotions and we respond to other people. When we hear stuff that maybe haters, I don't know. So if somebody says something negative about you, just acknowledge that you're going to have those feelings, that you're going to feel hurt, that your feelings are going to be hurt. And don't try to stuff it back in. Like, just acknowledge that those feelings are there. It's okay, because you're a human being. The third one I have is that you have to remind yourself, and this is for those of you who are on your way up, you're trying to level up. And I think we talked about leveling up in episode 4. So go back and listen to that episode if you haven't yet. We talk about leveling up in your career. But if you're trying to level up, you're kind of the sum of all the people that you hang around with. And so if the people that you hang around with perceive that you're trying to achieve things at a higher level than them, and that's their perception, they're always, always going to try to pull you back down to mediocrity no matter what. And so just keep that in the back of your mind. And as we've discovered that, or as we've encountered that, back a month or so ago when Daryl and I went on our retreat, we actually did the exercise of making a list of our circle. You want to talk about our circle exercise?
Ooh, it was fun. It was also a little discouraging because we actually took time to evaluate or reevaluate people that were in our circle that maybe have been there for a long time, because at that time when they joined our circle, it was different. And we looked at where we were right now and some of the things that we are trying to do and some of the things that we've actually overcome, and the people that were in our circle, we evaluated what they contributed to us by being in our circle and what the value was for having them in our circle and how they contributed to us. Mm-hmm. And we kind of went through and identified, the types of people that we would like to continue to have in our circle, the types of people that we would like to consider maybe inviting into our circle, and the people that are in our circle that are just putting holes in the walls of our circles, mm-hmm. and breaking our circle down, and who we needed to dismiss from our circle and put them on the outside. So we actually broke that down and mm-hmm. went through, and we actually listed out people, mm-hmm. And kind of identified what category they fell into, and then came up with a plan of, you know, how we were going to navigate maybe those conversations or how our actions were going to be moving forward with those people.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was tough and it was discouraging because there were some people that definitely on both sides for us that have been in our circle for extended periods of time, but that came into our circle when we were in a place to where we were content and we weren't making the strides that we were, and they were good for us at that time. And now that we're excelling and we're finding success, they're pulling us backwards or holding us down.
Yeah.
And those are not the people that we need in our circle for right now for what we're trying to do. Not saying that we're going to completely disassociate ourselves with those people or treat them poorly or any differently, but for what we're trying to do and the moves that we're trying to make, they're just not the right people for us right now for what we're trying to do moving forward. So we just put them on the outside of a circle, still say hey to them, still hang out, still speak to them. But when it comes down to our goals, our ambitions, and what we're trying to do and what we're accomplishing and our success, hey, they don't need to know about all that. They don't need to be involved in that.
Yep, exactly. I couldn't have said it better. And so I encourage you to, if you're at a point in your life, whether it's individually, it's with your partner, it's about you individually or about your business or whatever it is, if you need to make that, if you need to do that circle exercise, do the circle exercise. You're going to thank yourself. You might feel a little bit heartless while you're doing it, but that's just reality for you. And like Daryl said, it doesn't have to come back and be a conversation with those people who fall outside of your circle. Like, you're dismissed from my life. That's not it at all. It's just more about what you're sharing and how you're sharing and when you're sharing it, and just very discretionary. Like, use your discretion with the people that fall outside of your circle.
That's right. And then something we did that, we really haven't talked about, we created additional layers to our circle. Mm-hmm. So we have our tight-knit circle, and then we have different layers for where, you know, different people fall in. And as we were kind of moving some people around and shifting things, some people fell into layers where, you know, they were still supportive, but they just didn't need to be in the immediate circle where they knew everything.
Right.
And then we had some people that fell on the external layers that really weren't supportive, people that just knew us or we knew them, and we didn't look to them for support.
Right.
And they definitely are not getting the inside on what we have going on as well. So
right.
we did that as well. It was kind of internal how we did that.
Yeah.
But we kind of created those different layers as well. So if you are doing your circle, I would say write it out and create those different layers as well, because it all matters in, you know, it all matters in the long run.
And it will affect your success. And so, and I really, truly believe that. So we encourage you to do that exercise. My next point is just for you to remember that nobody besides you has to live out your life. Nobody else has to live with your decisions. Nobody else has to live with your regrets later on. So if you let somebody's opinion of you or what they're talking about you make you second guess yourself or hold you back from what you're doing, well, guess what? You later have to live with those regrets that you let somebody hold you back or that you didn't proceed because of what other people thought of you. Those people who thought that of you are going to probably not even be in your life anymore, but you're going to have a major regret later. So I think that's important to remember for you when you think about, are people hating on me or not? But just keep that in the back of your head that you're the only person who has to live with the consequences of your decisions.
That's good. I think that's a good point.
My next one is also, you know, more on the empathetic side because I am an empathizer. But step back and remember, and this is kind of in the realm of not taking it personally, but remember that hurt people. And so, and what I mean by that is that if you got somebody hating on you, then there's a reason, and it's more internal to them than it is about what you're doing.
Right.
Maybe they're insecure. Maybe they're jealous of what you're doing.
Right.
Maybe they're actually hurting in some way. And they're hurt. And so you can take that empathetic approach too, in that, you know, I feel bad for them, even though they're hating on me, but there's something internally with them. And that kind of puts the onus off of you and what it is about you that you're doing. You want me to keep going? I have like three or four more.
Go for
it. Okay. My next one, and this is something that I've recently listened to. I want to give credit where it's due. I recently listened to Dave Hollis, and he talked about, remember that if people are talking about you, especially behind your back, they're small-minded people. And do you really want to let small-minded people drive what you're doing, drive your feelings, drive your emotions? Why are you even associating with people who are small-minded? And so to kind of reframe it like that, I think that's a good internal processing system to think about. Also, and this is another Hollis grab too, just to give more credit where it's due, but remember that other people's opinions are none of your business.
Mm.
So other people's opinions of you don't matter, whether they're good opinions or bad opinions. They're really none of your business because you don't have the power to change those people's opinions, really.
Hello.
That's funny. Let's see. So then my other one is don't worry about everybody liking you. And this is a hard one for me because I am a people pleaser. I like it when everybody likes me. But when you worry about that, then you're not being true to who you are. Yeah. So if I'm trying to get everybody to like me, then I'm putting out a front to all these people that may not be who I actually am. And that's not who I want to be.
You better say it.
So that's what happens when you get into people pleasing and I want everybody to like me mode is you have to change yourself for them. And that's not true to you. So don't do that. And don't worry about if they're hating on you or if they like you.
You better say it.
Yes. And then my last one is just another, like, I've just been watching Dave Hollis a lot, apparently, on live feed.
Wait a minute. What?
Well, on... I'm right now. You know, on Instagram. What are you talking? You've been watching with me.
I'm watching you.
So I saw this quote from him on Instagram, and I thought it was great. If you live by other people's compliments, then you'll die by their criticism. And that's kind of a nod back to their opinions of you are none of your business. Because if you live by their compliments and that's what you're after, then when they criticize you, you're going to suffocate and die.
Hello.
He does always say that. But it's really good advice. And yes. And I totally agree with that totally. So what else you got? Those were mine. Yeah, I'm like, I'm trying to drink coffee and I'm getting choked up in between.
She got coffee and I got water. That's why I don't drink coffee. Okay, y'all want to hear somebody hate real quick? Here it goes. That's why nobody don't drink coffee. Because you get y'all choked up. If you drink water, you know what I mean? It work out for you. No, I'm just kidding. No, seriously, I don't drink coffee. I am drinking water and she's drinking coffee.
Yes, that's very true.
Listen at her and listen at me.
Keith Sweat.
Hey, cut that out.
Your friends made fun of you. They said D Sweat. You sound like D Sweat. All right,
hey.
I love
so
it.
For real, let's go ahead and
anyway. Do you have any other advice for people haters? Okay.
Absolutely. And then I think mine is kind of like the wrap up.
Yeah.
So what I want to do is I was just kind of jotting down some notes. You know, we talked about haters and ways to kind of deal with it and all of those things. But I think I'm process oriented. So I think what I'm about to share now kind of will show you that I'm process oriented. How do you prepare yourself for haters and the hate? How do you prepare yourself for it? I think it's very important to be ready because in our instance, we really weren't ready for the haters and the type of hate that we got.
Not now.
Yeah. Not now. Like once we started, seeing some success and making some noise.
Yeah.
So if I could share anything, I wanted to share with you how to prepare yourself for haters and the hate. So if you got pens, pencils, you got your phone out to take notes, you want to write these down. So what you need to do is build up your resiliency. I mean, the reason you want to do that is so that you can take the hate on. It's going to come at you and you really can't control that. So you got to put yourself in a position to be ready and able to take it on. So build up your resiliency. Next is you want to be strong. So you want to make sure that you have the strength to power through that hate, because sometimes it can hurt your feelings and it can make you feel some type of weight. But you got to have strength to power through. Next, you got to be courageous. You want to make sure that you have the courage to not only power through from being strong, but to keep pressing forward. Because sometimes people can say some mean things, or they can put some stuff out there, and it'll make you want to shut down everything that you're doing and second guess what you're doing. So you got to have the courage to press forward. And then the fourth thing is just have faith. And you want to have the faith so that you will know better. And what I mean by knowing better is knowing better that what you're doing is for you. It's not for them. So know better that what they're saying doesn't really matter. So you want to make sure that you build your resiliency to take on the hate. You want to make sure that you are strong. You have the strength to power through. You're going to make sure that you're courageous to press forward. And you want to make sure you have the faith to know better. And then the last thing after you've done all of that to prepare yourself for haters and for the hate, trust in your process. So if you have a process, you have a plan, you have goals and you're pushing forward and people are going to hate on you, be resilient, be strong, be courageous, have the faith to know better and trust in your process.
Wow. That's awesome.
I got it, don't I?
You always got it.
I got That's it, don't
good.
I?
Good. Yes. That was a great wrap up. And I like this topic. When we did it, Daryl, I mean, we even started, and Daryl's like, I don't like talking that much about haters. But the reality is we've all got them.
Yeah.
No matter who you are, you know, whether you can term them bullies or just haters or whatever it is, we've all got them. So I hope this episode was enlightening, or at Definitely. Least just gave you some tips and how to change your thinking and how to start off resilient.
Absolutely. And be awesome. Like me. Pull out your pom-poms on them haters.
That, he does do that. Yeah.
I literally have my imaginary pom-poms and I shake them for the haters. Like, I'm cheering them on because that motivates me.
It
I'm
does
like,
motivate
and it doesn't motivate me to the point to where I'm trying to prove them wrong or do anything like that. But if I got haters, I'm doing something.
Yep.
And if I'm doing right. something yep. and I'm trusting in my process, yep. I know it's in the direction that I needed to be in. So I pull out my invisible pom-poms and I start shaking those suckers. So get your invisible pom-poms out and shake them on them haters.
There you go. That's it.
That's what I'm going to get a shirt made. Shake your pom-poms on them haters.
who would buy one of those?
I don't know, but I'll wear it though. And I put some on there.
Oh my goodness. All right. Well, I think that's all we got today.
That's it.
Yep. All right.
All right. Till the next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, everybody. If you liked today's episode, please subscribe to the Success in Black and White podcast. You'll get notified every time a new episode is posted, which is every Tuesday.
If you loved this episode, help us spread the love. Rate and leave a review on our iTunes podcast episode. Also, share that you listen on social media and tag us on your posts. My social media handle is I am Daryl Lovett on all social media platforms.
And mine is April Dawn Lovett on all social media platforms as well. Thanks for listening. Oh my gosh, you sound like Keith Sweat.
Oh my goodness, really?
Yes.
Oh.
Oh, did it record?
Yeah.